If you kind of like fitness, then you'll definitely love this podcast. You are listening to the Fit-ish Podcast, where you'll hear a lot about fitness and a lot about other-ish.
Achoo! I sneezed on the beat and the beat got sicker. Who said that? Beyonce did. So that was something silly to begin this podcast. I hope you guys are going to wait. You guys will enjoy this podcast. I know it because in today's podcast, we talk about protein, fitness, health, and what it means to being healthy. Wait, let me backtrack. So we talk about how much protein you need per meal. We go over the theory or the myth that you only need 20 grams of protein per meal because after 20 grams, you don't digest it all. And then we talk about protein on a daily basis, which might be a little bit easier to understand rather than per meal because, you know, sometimes people eat more than 3 to 5 meals per day. So we talk about protein on a daily basis, what kind of number you should be hitting, especially if you have certain fitness goals. And then we talk about putting fitness in our name. Why haven't we put fitness in our name if we are so into fitness, right? We love fitness so much. Why haven't we made fitness our whole identity? And then we talk about why fitness is not equivalent to health. Then we get into some other topics talking about, can you be healthy without being fit? Can you be fit without being healthy? And finally, Alan starts to ramble on at the very end, talking about muscle growth, muscle cell hypertrophy, all those good things. And Monica adds much value to the discussion. If any of these topics interest you, go ahead and go ahead and put it at 1.5 speed. That way you can listen to it faster because it's good for the algorithm when you guys finish the whole podcast through. So even if you guys don't like what we say, just go ahead and maybe keep it running, but put on mute. That way we can rank higher in the algorithms, whether you're listening to it on Spotify or Apple or Google Podcasts or Anchor, any of those, just please listen to it. I'm begging you. And if you do listen to it, you could maybe DM me and I might Venmo you, but probably not. But I would love if you guys did that. Anyways, that's enough rambling for me. If any of those interest you, keep on listening. Here we go in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah. No!
You fucking like, oh yeah. Go. I'm just drinking water. Gosh, that's how I drink water, actually.
It's a good reminder.
Okay. Yeah, so before we begin the podcast, go ahead, drink some water, which I don't have right now. I've got some coffee.
Oh my, you don't have water next to you?
I already drank water.
So?
I drink 100 ounces every day.
Do you actually keep track?
Yeah, because the bottle is 100 ounces that I have currently.
So you only drink one bottle?
I drink one bottle every day. Yeah. I drink one bottle of water every day. Yeah. It's 100 ounces though. Come on.
Okay. Okay. Oh,
no, I'm not getting mad at you. I'm getting mad at the people who think I only drink one bottle of water every day. Everyone knows I drink tons of water.
Yeah, we get it. We get it. We can sign up for your texts.
Yeah. So if you guys want water reminders, go ahead and sign up for my text. That is in the link in bio on my Instagram. I literally
Instagram.
Have to. Yeah, I'm doing that for free too. I'm literally paying a company to send out these texts. So you guys really need to be drinking water because that's $99 a month to have the community.
I don't know if I like really need mine anymore.
Me neither. You know, I like what benefit do I get other than making sure people stay hydrated? Not a lot, but I guess wow. That speaks to my character. You know,
yeah,
I'm such a great person. I am so humble.
You're so humble.
So athletic and so beautiful. And
wow, you're really feeling yourself today.
Yeah.
Has anything been happening? Like, has anything been going on? Or are you just positive vibes today?
Just positive vibes today. Vibes are positive.
Wow. Yeah. Speaking of signups, how's your app going?
It's good. Yeah. I still have the free library. So that will always be free if you guys ever want ideas on workouts or just don't want to follow them on Instagram and you'd rather have something that's more of an app to follow. I mean, you did a workout today. How was it? Which workout did you do?
The first one.
Oh my God, look at my muscles right now. My arms look so big. Do you see this?
They look gigantor.
Oh my God, I'm gonna clip that.
I will clip it, except it's not going to be 16x9. So you might have to back up a little bit. Yeah, that's good. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You haven't even worked out yet today.
No, because we had to record this podcast.
Not even a pump.
I cut you off. How was the workout today? Which one did you do?
The first one. I'm doing in order. Number one.
Oh, you did the 12-week program.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because that's different from like the library, which is just like the compilation of all the workouts I've been doing.
Oh, no. I did your 12-week thing the very first day.
Any feedback?
Yeah. What? I was dying. You had like to end it with a single arm Z press.
Yeah. In a good way?
In a good way.
Did it take an hour?
Because
like I put the like time or like it goes like 15, 30, 45, 60, or you could do custom timer. And I just assumed it was about 60 minutes. I don't really know sometimes because of the filming and like all the prep work that usually goes in. I don't know exactly how long my workouts are. So I just say like usually like 45 to 60.
It was less than an hour for sure.
Less than an hour? Oh, cool.
I was just following your sets.
Cool. Any feedback? Like things?
None yet.
None yet? Cool. Awesome. Well, if you stick with it, let me know.
I'll have my brother do it with me.
Cool. Hell yeah. Well, where's he now? Isn't he back in?
Nope. Singapore? He's home still.
No.
They won't let him back in. But he might be finishing out his program at U of M Ann Arbor. So we'll see.
Oh, go Wolverines.
Yeah, go blue, baby.
Go blue. Wait, you didn't even go there.
I didn't go there. She doesn't even go here.
She doesn't even go here. Okay, I feel like people are bored of us because we're not that cool yet to just be rambling on like other podcasts.
What do you mean? People care.
I don't think so.
Well, I care.
I care too, but we're not people.
We are above the people. We are literally superhuman.
Yeah, anyways.
I feel like they came here for education.
For some value,
but we also provide entertainment.
Inspire.
Girl gate, keep gate, boss people.
Girl boss. Boss babes.
Boss babes.
With biceps.
Is that your tagline now?
No. It's Don't Arch for Clout.
Oh, yeah. I help boss babes earn a 10-figure salary every day.
And make sure they get a booty and bicep pump.
Yeah, through protein intake, which leads us into our question of the day. I get this question a lot from people, and it's always, how much protein do you need per meal? How would you answer that question, or what question would you have to that question?
How many meals do you plan to have per day?
Oh, that's a great question. Because some people only eat like twice a day.
Uh-huh.
Most people maybe three times a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
How often do you eat?
Probably eat 2 to 4 times a day.
Probably about the same.
Yeah.
When do you eat most of your protein, do you think?
When do I eat most of my protein? I try to get it in the morning and afternoon, but usually it comes at night.
Really?
I forget. Yeah.
You eat so many eggs. How many eggs have you had today?
I didn't eat any eggs today because we're out of eggs. Because I ate so many.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, I just drink those now. Way easier.
Okay.
But yeah, so I guess the first question is, how much protein do you need per meal? And the question we ask is, how many meals do you eat per day? With that aside, a lot of people are like, oh, I only thought you can eat 20 grams of protein per meal. And so let's get into that. Have you heard that theory, that myth?
No.
So, I mean, it's not completely a myth, but the reigning theory is that, oh, if you eat more than 20 to 30 grams of protein, you're not able to break it down and digest the extra protein. And that comes from a study. I think it came from this study with the title, Ingested Protein Dose Response of Muscle and Albumin Protein Synthesis After Resistance Exercise in Young Men, and then also followed up by another journal article that reads, a moderate serving of high-quality protein maximally stimulates skeletal muscle protein synthesis in young and elderly subjects. And so the first one was coming from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, 2009. And then the second one is coming from the Journal of the American Dietetic Association, also published in 2009. And so what did these studies show? Well, they used college-aged weight trainers or weightlifters. Not sure if it was male or female or a co-ed cohort study, but basically they had them drink either 0, 5 grams, 10 grams, 20 grams, or 40 grams of protein after a weight training session. And what they found was that the maximal muscle protein response is stimulated with the 20 gram dose. So therefore, up to 20 grams, you get the maximal amount of protein synthesis. So like the muscle recovery, muscle repair, the idea of moving amino acids to the muscle to build more muscle. And then they didn't see any further increases at 40 grams. So you'd assume going from 20 to 40, you would double the amount. But like with many things, it's a bell curve. And so the return on investment after a point was negligible or actually diminished. So I think a lot of people think of that study where it's like, oh, you only can have 20 grams of protein at every meal, because after that, you don't like get the benefits of the extra protein, which is technically true if you're thinking about muscle protein synthesis. I think what a lot of people think of is like, you can't digest the extra protein that you get after 20 grams. So it's like, why would you eat it? And I wouldn't say that's necessarily true, because if you couldn't, quote unquote, digest the extra protein, then one of the easiest weight loss approaches in terms of diets would just be having people eat super high protein meals. Because if they don't digest it, then that means they'll just excrete it out. So you could have, you could be eating 4,000 calories of straight protein, but if the other 3,000 calories aren't being digested properly, then that means in total you would have 1,000 calories. And I think that's kind of where people get confused. It's like, what happens to the extra protein I eat if I can only digest 20 grams of protein at a time? And that's where we're saying that the extra protein you eat after 20 grams doesn't just magically disappear. It's still being used, and it might not be shuttled in the way to maximize protein synthesis, but it's still somewhere in your body, and it's going to either be broken down further into amino acids, and those amino acids might, you know, be used for gluconeogenesis, so creating glucose if you're low on glucose, or be stored later on when they're converted into fat cells. I forget actually my biochemistry, if amino acids can be converted into triglycerides.
You're doing a lot better than I probably could right now, but it's what a, like, but that's, I don't know. I'm just like, what a good problem to have, to think about overeating or over consuming protein.
Yeah. And then obviously there gets to a point where if you do have too much protein and you already have problems with your kidneys, that it will be hard for the kidneys to filter all that protein out. But if the matter of the fact is, if you could only actually digest 20 grams of protein every meal, then people would have huge high protein meals and be able to lose weight very easily. You could eat just chicken breasts and think and eggs and ground beef and be fine, because in theory, the idea is that those calories just don't count, which we know at the end of the day is not actually true, because no one's been able to create a calorie surplus in a clinical setting and have a high protein diet. So high protein diet, like 1 gram per pound of body weight, and create a surplus and see someone lose weight. So at the end of the day, as long as there's that caloric surplus, people are going to gain weight.
Yes. And facts.
And if the truth was that you can't digest extra protein, then you would be able to create in a setting a caloric surplus with a super high protein diet and see people lose weight. But no one's ever been able to do that. Yeah.
Cool. So,
hopefully helpful. That answers. I mean, there's other things about this where it's like, yeah, anything beyond 20 to 30 grams just doesn't maximally affect protein synthesis. which is a huge role in playing for like muscle recovery and muscle building, as we said. But obviously there are other effects of amino acids. I'm pretty sure neurotransmitters and transamination is a factor in terms of like the protein you're ingesting. So it doesn't all just go into, you know, muscle building. Your body uses amino acids for lots of things, lots of things. Yeah, that's I think. And then from there, the question would be, how much protein should we have on a daily basis then? So if you don't want to think about like how much you should have per meal, which varies on how many meals you have and, you know, your size and stature, then the next question would be, okay, how much protein should I have on a daily basis? And do you know those numbers off the top of your head?
I shall do. We have 0.7 to 1 gram per pound of lean body mass. So what's lean body mass? How does somebody calculate that?
So lean body mass is basically the easiest way, without overcomplicating things, is just to take your weight and subtract how much fat you have, like your body fat percentage. So for example, if you are 100 pounds and you are 20% body fat, that means 20% of your weight is body fat. Therefore, if you're 100 pounds, that means you have 20 pounds of body fat, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're 200 pounds, 20% body fat, that means 40 pounds of your 200 pounds is body fat. So it's just a percentage. And then you can multiply that times your weight to kind of find how much, roughly, how much body fat you store. And so with that in mind, if you're 100 pounds and 20 pounds is body fat, then you do 100 minus 20. And that gives you technically your lean body mass. Of course, you have to account for like how much your blood weighs, how much your bones weigh, how much your organs weigh. But that aside, which complicates things, just do your weight minus how much fat you have. And then you find your lean body mass. So in this case, 100 minus 20 means you have 80 pounds of lean body mass, which in this scenario is muscle. Lean body mass is muscle, how much muscle you have on your body. And so if it's 0.7 to 1 gram, I think it's easier to just say like 1 gram per pound of lean body mass, because already that's a lot of calculations to be doing, right?
Yep.
So you know you're 80 pounds of lean body mass if you're a 100-pound person with 20% body fat. So 80 pounds of muscle, technically. So if you're aiming for 1 gram per pound of lean body mass, that's going to be 80 grams per day. If you're a 200-pound person and you're 20% body fat, that means 40 pounds is body fat. And then 160 pounds is going to be your lean body mass. That means you're going to aim for 160 grams per pound, right? 160 grams per pound of lean body mass. So I think that's the easiest way to kind of calculate your own protein on a daily basis. I mean, even for the people who want to do zero calculations, if you're aiming for 1 gram per pound of weight, so let's say you're 100 pounds and you aim for 100 grams of protein every day, I think that's a great place to start. And also, I need to add a caveat to that, is that if you are exercising and training and have whatever goal in mind, because I think my idea is that people severely under eat protein.
That's me.
Yeah. I mean, me too. But again, the idea is that like you have a certain goal in mind, like whether it's to gain more mass, to lose mass, lose fat, you're underestimating your protein intake. And I think it's better for people to kind of hit that higher number rather than the lower number, just because think about in the long run, like if you want to shed a little bit of fat and you're not hitting your protein, then you're not sending the signal to your body to keep holding on to your muscle, because muscle is metabolically active and very expensive. Your body wants to shed as much muscle as it can because it's wasting all of the calories away. But if you send the signal of these proteins and these amino acids to the body, then your body's like, oh, okay, well, we'll hold on to more muscle. We'll try to lose more of the body fat instead. Because you could get into a situation where you lose muscle and fat and it gets hard. You slow down your metabolism, all that stuff, downstream effects. And then for our people across the pond, or basically anyone who's not in America, because we do have non-American listeners, the 0.1 to 1 gram per pound doesn't relate to you because you guys use the kilolograms, kilolograms.
Kilolograms. I'll say what those numbers are really quickly. 0.8 mm-hmm. to 2.2.
Which is the very low end to 2.2, yeah.
Grams.
So per 0.8 kilogram. Would be basically kind of like half of your weight in kilograms is what you're aiming for in protein. So if you're 70 kilos, then you're aiming for about half of that. So that would be like 35 grams of protein, which sounds really low. But that's under 0.8. So if we take the 0.8 and actually bump it up to 1, then if you're 70 kilos and you're aiming for 1 gram per kilogram, then you're aiming for 70 grams of protein, which is, I still think, is on the low end, especially if you have certain fitness goals in mind. I really do think that's on the low end. And so that's why I think the higher end number, which is the 2.2, makes a lot more sense. Somewhere you don't even have to hit the 2. So again, 70 kilos aiming for 2 grams per kilogram, that's about 140 grams of protein. You can even do maybe like 1.7, 1.5, somewhere in that range. So like 1.5 to 2 grams per kilogram, that's a really good number. Again, if you have certain fitness goals in mind, because this will only help you.
Aim high, shoot for the moon.
Aim high, shoot for the moon. If your poops start smelling bad, or you start getting like prolapses, don't Google what prolapse is, by the way, or don't say that I told you to Google it, because I told you to not Google it. Monica, do not Google it right now.
I really want to right now. I'm scared.
Again, if you get blood in your poops or prolapses, things like that, or blood in your pee even, like then I would tone it down. But I feel like for most people, shooting high for protein is pretty okay. I'm not a doctor. This is not medical advice. This is just what we think, what I think. I would do this for myself. Did you Google it?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They were just like diagrams at first, but I scrolled a little bit too far.
Too far. Yeah. Also, definitely do not Google hemorrhoids or Fournier's gangrene. Fournier is spelled F-O-U-R-N-I-E-R. Fournier. It's French. F-O-U-R-N-I-E-R. Do not Google Fournier's gangrene.
God! Oh my God.
Oh, Monica, I told you not to Google it. Stop. I'm telling you not to Google it.
Oh, there's a Celtics player with that last name.
Yes, there is. Evan Fournier. So whenever Evan Fournier like makes a highlight on Instagram, or like if he pops up on ESPN for some reason, people are always like, do not Google Fournier's gangrene. And everyone does. And it's obviously bad. So I'm telling you right now, do not Google it. Do not pause this podcast and go to Google and Google Fournier's gangrene. That's again, F-O-U-R-N-I-E-R. G-A-N-G-R-E-N-E. Do not do that. This is not medical advice. This is not advice at all. I'm telling you not to Google it, okay? Okay. Don't do what Monica did and just Google it, because I'm literally telling you not to Google it.
I'm a really good listener.
Yeah.
So.
Thinking of other words that start with F other than Fournier's gangrene is fitness. And
is fetish.
Is a fitness fetish. This is fit-ish. No, but my question is for you, Monica, and to the person behind you, is would you put... Well, you do have a window looking out there, or is that a mirror?
It's a mirror.
Because sometimes I see a reflection of like a car or something. Would you put fitness in your name, or why haven't you put fitness in your name? Why is it ASAP Monty and not like Monica.fitness?
I don't know. I don't honestly have never thought about this question before.
Mm-hmm.
Fitness.
But if you love fitness so much, why wouldn't you put it in your name?
I don't want to identify too closely with my with fitness.
Oh, that's good. Right? You are your own brand.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you have fitness in your name?
I mean, yeah, me too. Like, I didn't want to fully identify with fitness. There's a reason that I'll save for last. But yeah, I don't know. I just never saw myself in that light. And I think, like, subconsciously, especially for some creators, when you see, like, blah, 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 fitness, you're just like, oh, God, tone it down. Like, I don't need all of this, like, up in my face. Like,
yeah, it, people it, where it's it like, seems too, I don't have the right word.
I understand what you mean, though. It's like too much, too in your face. It's like, all right, we get it. I could have told you you were into fitness without even having to, like, you tell me. Like, I can just see it from your page. You're into fitness. You don't have to, like, reiterate it.
So, like, the Alan Yee fitness.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound too good to you then.
No. I just thought it was too, like, I don't know. Most of the guys I know with fitness in their name, like, blatantly, are usually, like, douchebags. Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
Not all of them. Definitely not all of them. Not the people I follow, but, like,
they're not a monolith.
Yeah. The people, yeah. I don't know. Can we cut that?
I think it's fine. No, it's funny. I would never put fit in my name.
You know,
I'm like,
it's too strong. It's cocky. It's like, I don't know how to explain it exactly. You guys know what I mean, right?
I know what you mean.
There's something about it.
Yeah. Cool for you if you have it in your name, but
hey, yeah. Power.
I'm also, I'm like, I'm not that fit. Like, I'm not that
fit. We're kind of fit. Fit-ish.
That's why we're fit-ish.
Yeah. The Alan Yee fit-ish.
Has fitness in it.
Yeah. Well, not technically. Yeah. The other reason that you brought up was that you don't, like, associate your whole self with fitness, which I think is great. And I think the other thing that people don't think about is that fitness is not equivalent to health. Like, you're not just into fitness. You're into health, wellness, whether it be physical, mental, financial, spiritual, social health. Like, you're not just into fitness. And I think a lot of people who maybe they see someone whose name has fitness in it, they're like, oh, this person must be into health as well. Because I think we've equivalated, is that a word? Equivalated?
Equated.
Made equivalent? Equated. Equated. We've equated fitness with health.
Yeah.
So when people think of fitness, they think of health.
You always see, like, in ads, it's like health and fitness or, like, health and wellness, but it's like, but they don't mean the same thing.
What's that called? Like, when you're focusing on that, and is the subjugate.
Oh,
what's that?
Oh, predicate? My God. Are we in grammar class?
Oh my God. I don't know. I don't know. Copywriters know this. To my copywriter friends. Well, I know at least one copywriter. Can you tell us what that word is? Like, when it's and, like, that's like
the subject. It's not or.
Well, it's not or. Yeah, yeah. But that's what they do to make people think that fitness is health, because they say fitness and health. Fitness and health and wellness, not fitness or health or wellness. So then automatically people think, oh, if they're into fitness, automatically they must be into health. Well, people are probably typing. Well, no one types to us. People just probably listen. Like, well, I know, like, people who are into fitness and health. Well, let me give you some ideas of, like, when fitness is not health.
Okay, go.
I think a trend that's in fitness but does not promote health would be, I mean, tracking macros. Like, that promotes fitness. That can promote fitness, but doesn't necessarily promote health. I think in a lot of times it promotes the opposite of health, especially if you get into the ends of the spectrum where it's, like, too much, like you're always counting macros.
Right.
That's not healthy. It's not healthy to track every little thing in your life, which I used to do. Dry scooping. That's a fitness trend. That's not a health trend. You're ruining your enamel. The caffeine doesn't hit you any harder than you would by drinking it. Like, that's a very fitness trend that is not equivalent to a health trend. I don't know, waist trainers, those are a fitness trend, not a health trend. Sometimes cardio is a fitness trend and not a health trend. Like, if I asked a fitness person, like, what do they think of cardio? They're like, oh, like, either an hour on the Stairmaster or running a couple miles every week. Whereas the health side of it would be just like,
walking
10 minutes after every meal, three times a day for 30 minutes total.
A lot of these challenges, like 75 hard challenge or like really quick 30 day challenge type things, they like often use health to promote that when, I mean, you don't know if it really is going to be a healthy thing. Like it, that again is a fitness trend.
Yeah. I mean, is 75 hard healthy? I've never done it. I can't,
I've never done it.
Speak on it, but from what I've seen, it's like, that's hard to do. Well, 75 hard, duh, it's hard. Like
75 soft.
No, I love that one. Like, just take it easy. Not everyone has time to devote two 45-minute workout sessions every day and read a book and brush your teeth five times a day and go tend to your garden. I don't know. It's something hard. God. Something like that. And run 10 miles every day, every hour for every week for 5 weeks. Like, I don't know. That sounds hard to me.
And cold, I think it's like cold shower too. I'm like, some people only have cold showers. So
true facts.
But I guess what is the difference between fitness and health? What would you say?
Oh, philosopher Alan coming out here. Well, I think that the difference between fitness and health falls into like the holistic aspect. So I think health really does embody fitness. Like, you can be into fitness, but not into health. But if you're into health, you're more than likely into fitness, because you cannot have health without some sort of fitness.
You don't think right? so?
I don't think so. I don't think you can be healthy without fitness, because fitness can come in many different packages. Like, even just walking, golfing, those are all fitness to me. Uh-huh. But I think if you ask someone who's very much into the fitness space, they only think about lifting weights and putting them down, and that's it. Whereas health, you expand your mind of what fitness can be, like what it could look like, because not everyone wants to be going to the gym for an hour a day to lift weights. People enjoy different activities. Yoga is one. Walking, meditating can be part of fitness. Like, especially if you have like hard meditation sessions, like the ones that you don't want to do. I think a lot of times, it's you can't have health without fitness, but you can have fitness without health.
You because can't have health
without fitness, but you can have fitness without health. Because, okay, you can have fitness without health. Let's look at bodybuilders prepping for a show. That's athletes, all about fitness. Yeah, athletes. That's all about fitness. Very little about health. Because think about what they're doing to their body. They're pushing their body like to the very edge of what it can do. And when
it's more of like a, I think priority too is your physical health. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, not physical health, but kind of.
What kind of? But yeah, I mean, yeah, fitness, if you're into just fitness, you're only prioritizing your physical health, whereas we know that there's many pillars of health.
Right.
And you might forget about those. So I think those are great points. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I think we kind of talked about like, can you be healthy without being fit? And I think that was a good one.
I guess, I guess you just changed my mind, because I thought that you can have health without being fit. But I was also looking at the opposite spectrum of fit, which is like endurance, stamina, strength. Mm. I mean, flexibility, power, all those things. Because there are some people that like are like pretty low stress, low blood pressure, all like free of pain, but they're not necessarily like, they're not going to go out and run a mile.
Cause they don't have to.
Cause they don't, I guess they don't have to.
Who said they had to, other than the Heart American Association, Heart Health American?
Is that what they say?
No, they do say what, 20 minutes of exercise 7 days a week. So like 150 minutes total for cardiovascular health.
And 2 days of some strength training. Yeah. Type things.
Yeah. Man, one thing I wanted to talk about, we're just going to start rambling now. So if you guys want to leave, I just want to make sure that you guys follow this podcast, whether you are on Spotify or Apple. And if you can, either leave a rating or save it, something where it tells the algorithm that you enjoyed this, maybe share it to someone. and then you guys can click off. But I think I'm about to go on a ramble here, and we're going to have a discussion about muscles.
What?
Yeah. So we're going to have to pull out the books. You've been reading your books. Did you read Schoenfeld yet? Schoenfeld's book on muscle growth and hypertrophy?
I have it right you here. It.
Yeah.
But I mean, I pull it out to reference okay. it.
Okay. Well, we're just going to have a discussion right here. And I need to brush up, but maybe we can brush up after this. How do you build muscle?
Progressive overload.
Okay. But like, how does that build muscle? Like, what is like the cellular mechanics behind it? Like, what's the first thing you learn in anatomy class? Like, in order to build muscle, this has to happen.
Like, challenge them, give them a reason, provide a stimulus to grow. What?
Okay. Keep going. Like, whenever you took like any sort of either like anatomy or physiology class, they're like, muscles won't grow unless this happens.
What do you mean? Unless you use them.
Okay.
What are you saying?
I'm trying to get at the point, like muscle damage. People are always like, when you build muscle, like you break the muscle down, you tear the fibers, you get micro tears, and then you build it back up.
Okay.
Right?
Mechanical tension, metabolic stress, or muscle damage, or what is it?
Yeah.
Muscle damage,
right? Mechanical tension, muscle damage, metabolic stress, I think
yes.
in that order.
Okay. Yeah. I could have given you that first.
So like, why does everyone say that you need to have muscle damage? Like if I went to a gym bro at the gym and they're like, they were talking about like muscle growth and they're like, well, yeah, you have to damage the muscle first to build it back up. Why is that like the prevailing thought behind muscle growth?
Isn't it because like muscle damage, I don't want to word this wrong, but it's like when people are sore,
it's okay
a lot
to be
of it
wrong.
Is attributed to muscle damage.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
but we know you can grow without being sore and therefore
exactly.
you don't have muscle damage, right?
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Then I don't know the answer to that, to why people think that way still.
No, yeah, it's an interesting topic. And I think muscle tension is the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how your muscles don't actually know how much weight you're lifting.
Yep.
It's all about the tension it feels it has to overcome. Wouldn't it be backwards to think that you have to damage your muscles every time in order for them to grow? Like, how would you build a bigger house if you're always breaking it down to build it back up bigger? Why won't you just add parts to it?
Well,
and so I think
I agree with you. So I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah. Well, that was like a paradigm shifting thing that I like discovered. It's like, yeah, why would you break something down only to build it back up in the hopes that it builds bigger than before? And going into the research, there's like this theory that has to do with like muscle satellite cells. And basically nucleus overload. And so I have to read into it more, but the idea is that like you can send small signals without creating damage
mm-hmm.
as long as you have maybe two other factors in play, which would be metabolic stress or even like increased blood flow to an area and also mechanical tension. So mm-hmm. if you have those two things, you can create or you can grow your muscles without having to have muscle damage. And it's by increasing the number of nuclei in your muscle cells. And then those nuclei then can send signals to satellite muscle cells, which aren't muscle cells yet, but have the machinery to either create more muscle cells or turn into muscle cells themselves. And then that's kind of how you can build more muscle without any actual damage to like the actin and myosin and the sarcomeres and sarcolemma, like without actually breaking them apart to build them back up. Cause like, why would you break something down to build it back up instead of just like building on top of it or building it out more? So like
mm-hmm.
we know muscles can grow in series and become longer technically, which I don't think happens as often as building them in parallel and making them bigger this way. Yeah. This much. So yeah, those were kind of my thoughts when I was looking into building muscle. I think Schoenfeld, he does talk about talk about it in his book. So I want to start reading more and figure that part out. Because, yeah, okay, I just want to say, like, you don't need muscle damage to build muscles.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's going to be controversial. No, I think that's controversial to a lot of people.
Oh. No. No, you can build so much muscle with just the first two. I feel like those two are at the top of the pyramid, and muscle damage is like very, very second, like not even like, I don't know.
Right. Well, that's the idea. Cause like you have myofibrillar hypertrophy, which is like hypertrophy to the muscle cells themselves. And then you also have sarcoplasmic hypertrophy, which is the increase in sarcoplasmic fluid to the muscle cell. So not actually increasing the muscle cell itself, but increasing the fluid around the muscle cell. Really interesting stuff to look into. And like the reason why I'm looking into it so much is because like I'm challenging my paradigm of what I learned. And I feel like the best way to really understand something is to really read into it. I don't think I've actually really read into muscle hypertrophy other than what I learned in like undergrad and high school classes on anatomy. Like I just took it as word, and I was like, oh, okay, yep, that's how you build muscle. You damage the muscle and then you repair the muscle afterwards. Like the muscles will repair.
Yeah.
But now I'm starting to think like, why do you always have to go into repair mode? Why can't you just send a small enough signal that does increase the muscle protein synthesis? That way you can build on it instead of having to tear it down each time.
Is metabolic stress like more, it's more associated with like the pump, right?
Yeah. Like the lactic acid and things like that. I think mm-hmm. there's a signaling effect where like if lactic acid is increased in the muscle cell, then it sends a signal to like repair hormones like IGF for afterwards to like repair whatever damage there was, even if there wasn't any damage. And that's kind of the idea behind that. Yeah. Those are just things I think of on my 3-hour drive to and from Los Angeles sometimes.
3 hours?
Well,
total.
Maybe total, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then how would somebody apply that to their training? What if they were always chasing, you know, muscle damage?
Right. Well, if you're always chasing muscle damage, then you're never giving yourself proper time to recover. And I think that's what happens with the 5-day bro split. That's the idea, is that you damage it so much that you need the time to recover. But we know that the best way to either increase your strength efficiently or build muscle efficiently is through frequent training.
Right.
So instead of just hitting your chest once a week, we know that the best way to increase strength and increase muscle is to do it frequently, maybe 2 to 3 times a week at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then even going below that is like what I had a client do who was focused on his chest. I had him do what I did, which was 100 push-ups every day. But you don't do it just like in the morning. You separate out throughout the whole day. So if you're someone who's listening to this and you want a bigger chest or a bigger butt, I want you to just try this for a month, like 30 days. You're going to do sets of 25. You'll do 25 push-ups maybe right after you wake up, and then after breakfast, after lunch, after dinner, and you'll hit 100 push-ups. The idea is that you're microdosing your workout. Instead of doing 100 at one time, you're doing 25 separated out throughout the day. So you're constantly stimulating your muscle protein synthesis, and you're having this frequent stimulus to the muscle saying that there's tension and that there's metabolic stress. And this hopefully increases the amount of hypertrophy you can see over a given time. So if you want to build your butt, you can do like sets of 25 air squats throughout the day, just small, nice and quick, whether you're like waiting in line, I guess, if you're okay with like doing that, or if you're at home and you're cooking or making coffee, just
brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
In the shower.
Anything, just like 25 real quick, like these small microdosed amounts of stimuli to the muscle, I think is what is going to help you achieve what you want in terms of sculpting your body.
And it's more practice, like we talked about last time.
Yep. Shout out to Rifat. She put us on her story.
She did?
She said she didn't have the best workout, but she went into the gym and she knew that practicing the movement is also part of it.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. I missed that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm sure it's
well, yeah. If any of our content does help you out, tag us.
Yeah, tag us either on our personal pages or our podcast page. I mean, we love seeing that stuff. And I think we hit everything that we wanted today.
Yeah, I think so.
Any last words?
Any last words before I end it?
Finish him.
That should be our outro. Finish. But finish. It's finish. Finish him.
Yeah.
I could definitely get someone on Fiverr to do that.
Finish him.
Please do it.
This has been the Fit-ish Podcast with your hosts, Alan and Monica Blanco.
Yeah, hopefully way better than that.
Should we make an outro? Because we don't have an outro. It just kind of ends. Our podcast just kind of ends right now.
Yeah, we should. Maybe we should get an outro.
I'll see if I can hit up the same guy and be like, yo, need an outro.
Let us know if there are any topics that you want us to, you know, shit on.
Yeah.
We'd be happy to shoot the shit about them.
Yeah. So, yeah, just want to thank you guys for tuning in and listening to this podcast. We hope you guys enjoyed it. If you guys did enjoy it, please leave a 5-star rating or like and download the podcast. Share it with your friends. Share it on your story. If you guys do share it on your story, tag us. I'm at the Alan Yee. That's Monica at Monica Blanco. And you can also tag our podcast media page at Fittish Media. Go ahead, give that a follow. Also, if you guys do have questions, I think the easiest place to reach us is on the Fittish Media page, just because I get so many DMs, it's so hard to go through them all. Like, I do.
Oh, we get it. You got 50K today.
I showed you the book, right? I have a book from my friend Adam. I'm pretty sure he gave it to me for Christmas a couple of years back, and it says How to Become Instagram Famous. And I read it. I read it maybe twice. Yeah, but it's been a long road. But I'm finally here. I think I'm so proud of you. Can I say I'm Instagram famous now?
Yeah, 50K? You've been Instagram famous, dog.
I feel like it's not. I feel like it's not. Like my friend Larry has 300K.
Okay,
Larry
Gow,
he's at 300K. I don't know. I feel like that's Instagram famous.
No, I think you're famous.
You don't think there's like a number you have to hit?
No.
Because it can come in all shapes and sizes, just like health.
Exactly.
Health can look like anything.
And so fitness.
Yeah, hell yeah. I'm famous and I'm humble as fuck.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Here's the outro. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1.
Thank you for listening to the Fit-ish Podcast. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star rating, like and save this podcast, and go ahead and share it to your story. Tag at the Alan Yee and at ASAP Monty. And we will be back next week with another episode answering your questions. Thank you guys, and see you next time.